Welcome to the Good Book Club on Spirit Mornings. Let's listen as we open the Good Book.
The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John.
Look at us.
And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them.
I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Truth and Life Dramatized Audio Bible Version of the first 10 verses of Chapter 3 of Acts of the Apostles. The Bibles are open, the Good Book Club is on the air, and welcome to you. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with Jen Brown, and Jen joining us to discuss these verses today. We're delighted to have the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Welcome, Deacon. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Peter and John were still going to the temple. Why would they still be going to the temple at this time, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers?
Yeah, that's a great question. You would think that, they're going to go to church. But remember, there was no church back then. It was still illegal to be a Christian. So when they celebrated the Eucharist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, were either in the catacombs or in private homes. And we see this in Acts chapter 20 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But the temple was still seen as a venue for public prayer and preaching. And so we see, for example, in Peter's address to the people in Acts chapter 3, they did it from the temple area.
And they went at the ninth hour, too. And we have to be cognizant of times and numbers when these show up in Scripture, don't we, Deacon?
Yeah, the ninth hour. So those of us who pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day know that there's something called mid-morning prayer, midday prayer, and mid-afternoon prayer, terce, sect, and non. And so non is Latin for ninth. And so they said they went at the ninth hour. It was mid-afternoon, about 3 o'clock. Now, at the temple, liturgical services were held twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. So the sacrifice were offered morning and evening, and this is from Exodus 29. So what's great about this, the mention in Acts of the Apostles of the 3 p.m. hour, remember Jesus died at 3 o'clock, that at the time of the evening sacrifice before the Sabbath is when Jesus died and gave up his life for us on the cross. And so that's also considered today for us as Catholics, the hour of mercy, and also idea of the evening sacrifice has implications for the vigil mass as well. You know, why we have mass on Saturday if Sunday's the day of the resurrection, because remember, it goes back all the way to this time as well.
The words, the times, the numbers, also very important when we are looking at the Bible, when we start to study and go deeper into the Bible, especially this description of the gate that they're talking about, where this individual was laying.
Yeah, so those who were sick or lame, those, for example, with congenital disabilities, were not allowed to enter the temple to worship. You know, this goes back, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 21, you see that there was a prohibition for priests. So, for example, if a priest had a blemish, for example, a blind or lame or mutilated face or injured foot or injured hand, they could not enter the temple as a priest to offer worship. And so we see this extended from the priest to all people with congenital defects. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, that actually didn't say explicitly in the Old Testament, But we see from a document called the Rule of Congregation, which is an appendix to the Community Rule, which is one of the documents found in Qumran. It says, no man smitten with any human uncleanness shall enter the assembly of God. No man smitten in his flesh or paralyzed in his feet or hands or lame or blind or deaf or dumb shall go into the temple to worship. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus healed the sick and the lame, so that they can go to the temple to worship God. And so Peter and John are just following in the Lord's footsteps.
Right. Now, they make reference to the beautiful gate. Jen was touching on that. And tell us a little bit about this series of gates, Deacon Harold.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the Old Testament, when it describes the temple, it never describes this beautiful gate. This is something that appears only here in Acts of the Apostles account. So, of course, you had the temple, and you had a series of different gates that led to the center of the temple. So you had the outermost gate, which was called Solomon's Porch, and then you had the Court of the Gentiles, and which was the next inner court. Then we have this, what we think is the beautiful gate, that led into the Court of the Women, which led to another gate called the Nicanor Gate, and inside that was the Hall of the Israelites, and then the Hall of the Priests and the altar, and then there was 12 steps into the Holy of Holies, which is the innermost part of the temple. And so there's no agreement on exactly where the beggar was, because the gate, again, by that name is not mentioned in any Old Testament or historical documents. But in thinking about this, you would think that he would be at a place where the traffic into the temple was the greatest. I mean, if you're going to beg for alms, mm-hmm. you want to be at a place that's the busiest. get your best luck. So a more likely location would have been what's called the Double Gate at the southern wall of the Temple Mount, which is visible from the east, because there was a stairway that led up to this gate from the lower plaza. And that's where most of the people would enter into the temple. And that's probably where he was. And now, if you look at the ruins of that today, you see inside of this Double Gate, there's a ceiling that has a passageway, which is beautiful carved domes and some remnants of some artwork and things in there. And that's most likely where he was begging for alms.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network for the Good Book Club. I'm Jen Brown along with Bruce McGregor. Now, Deacon Harold, you've written many books on Scripture. You're a Scripture scholar, and you have an interior of Jerusalem's temple. Where can people find that?
The best way to go is to Google it. I got BibleStudy.org is the place where I got the temple map, so you can actually see it. And it's, sometimes it's good to have visual aids like this. When you're looking at certain things, you're like, well, wait a minute, where is this? Like, for example, what I have is a map of Israel on my wall. So if I'm thinking, Jesus went from here to here, or they mentioned this place, I can look up at the map and see the context and see context. Okay, here's how far it was from Nazareth to Bethlehem, or from here to this place. And so it's great to have that visual. I think that deepens your engagement in the Word of God, where you're able to have some visual aid. So it's always helpful.
I think so too. I think you're right, Deacon, with that. And then there's some beautiful things. So we have the description. So then we've entered in, and we're kind of putting ourselves where this was taking place. And then the apostles to Jesus, they heal somebody in the name of Jesus. So then something beautiful takes place out in front of these gates of the Jerusalem temple.
And I love the words of Peter. Silver and gold, we don't have that, but I can give you what I got. Silver and gold. Because that shows us that the gifts from the Lord are better than anything that this world has to give us, that this world can possibly offer us. And so it says he took him by the right hand. Why? Because the right hand is is called the oath swearing hand. When you swore a covenant, you did it by the right hand. And of course, we hear that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so he took him by his right hand and he raised him up, and his legs were made strong. And he entered the temple walking and leaping and praising the Lord. So the healing ministry of Jesus continued through his apostles, who are authorized to speak in his name. We see this in Mark chapter 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. But there's also a beautiful Old Testament reference in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, that talks about the kingdom of God. How are you going to know? How do you know when the kingdom of God has arrived? It says, say to those who are a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. The Lord will come to save you. How do you know? The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart, and the hart is an adult male deer. Mm-hmm. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy. Mm-hmm. And so now we see these signs being done, first through Jesus Christ, and now through his apostles. So that's an indication that the kingdom of God has arrived and is present. And that's why it's a cause for such joy. We also see in Acts chapter 4, which is right after this, that the Pharisees had threatened Peter and John, and they let them go, finding no way to punish them because the people were like awed by the miracles that we're doing. And all men praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old, right? It says later that the man that was healed was 40. And again, 40 is an important number because it's the number of gestational weeks in a pregnancy. And it's a symbol of that represents a period of trial, testing, and waiting. So here's this man waiting. Every day he goes to the temple, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. When he turns 40, that beautiful biblical number, the Lord comes and intervenes in his life in a very, very powerful way and changes his life forever.
Yeah, and Deacon Harold, I think we can't let Peter's faith go unnoticed here as well. You know, as he points out, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. And then he invokes the name of Jesus and tells the individual to walk. The strength and conviction of Peter's faith is really on full display here.
And remember what Jesus says, you only have to have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. So here's a guy, Peter, that often put his foot in his mouth. Right, he always did the wrong thing at the wrong time.
But we all
Jesus
love Peter,
times.
Right? We all love Peter.
Ran away from Jesus when he needed him the most, but now he has the confidence because he's cooperating with the grace of the Spirit, and that Spirit is allowing him now, in the name of Jesus Christ, to perform mighty deeds in his name, to bring people to healing, to bring people to reconciliation, to bring people deeply into the heart of the Lord.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, also known as Dynamic Deacon.
Now you know why.
Yes, absolutely. the co-host of Morning Glory on EWTN, but also a speaker at the upcoming Christ Our Life Conference, which is going to be, you can attend it in person, or you can also attend it online. They're offering both of those options at the Christ Our Life Conference in September, this biannual conference that has just really taken off over the last decade. And we're happy that you are going to be one of the speakers this year and coming to the Midwest, Deacon Harold.
Well, I'm so glad it's still happening.
True.
My fall schedule looks like a piece of Swiss cheese. almost every week we're changing this, we're canceling it, we're postponing it. So it's like, man, this is just a strange time. But but today's reading from Acts the Apostles and Peter healing the man that was lame gives me hope and courage. You know that despite anything that's going on in the world, I just have to remember, God's got this. God's in control.
Christ is Lord. He is Lord, and he does have this. And sometimes it does seem daunting and overwhelming to us. But if we just can repeat that when we wake up and our feet hit the ground and remember that prayer, Christ is Lord, and he has this, and he has us.
Got it all.
He can help us get through the day. Thank you so much, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Can we ask that you give us a blessing for our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you through the intercession of St. Mary Magdalene, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Deacon, before we let you go, your website and where people can track your efforts and how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Real simple. Just go to deaconharold.com, and there you can follow my social media, including my YouTube channel. I have over 600 videos now on my YouTube channel. Keep up with what I'm doing.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.